Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Brewers fall last night 2-0. If you missed our first hour, you can get it on demand. And pretty much we decided the Brewers have all the problems. We'll talk to Adam McKelvey coming up at 8 o'clock. Do need to get into the Bucks news as the draft this week. Reportedly, they are shopping some of their big contract guys, which I think is a mistake. We'll run that back and forth in a little bit. And we'll talk some Green Bay Packers here in a moment. Let's get to the phones first. Randy is in Kenosha. Apparently, you have a message for Chuck.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, yeah, I sent Chuck a Facebook message a couple weeks ago about his, let's just call it, dislike for the Cubs.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to hide it, I know that, but it seems like it's getting to be a little bit of an obsession.
Oh, how's that?
Well, today you talk about how they were a home run away from getting swept by the Dodgers.
Yeah?
Well, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, the Dodgers are the best team in the National League.
Okay.
And second of all, there were also a missed diving catch in Game 4 of the series from possibly winning that game and going 2-2 against previously said best team in the National League.
All right.
And then you continue to talk about farm system. Of course, you know, when you admittedly, you say the Brewers is bad, but the Cubs is worse. I mean, it's like, yeah, because the Cubs are all playing at the major league level.
Okay. But I justified it. I said because they sent some of their guys to the White Sox, and the Brewers farm system is worse because they've had to make trades. So where did I slight the Cubs?
Well, because of the fact that...
Am I right on that, though?
You say their farm system is bad. Part of the reason is that those guys are in the major leagues.
I said that.
Winning World Series.
Well, they're not winning World Series. They haven't done the last couple of years. They're not even winning division titles anymore.
I think, Randy, let me get this right. You wish Chuck gave better credit to the losses that they almost won?
No, it's not like that. I wish he equalized the credit and or criticism on an even level for both teams.
What about me? I've been saying that the Brewers are going to lose to the Cubs.
Yeah, I'm not. My message isn't to you.
He said I'm the one who's tough on the Cubs.
Well, so yeah. I'm the equalizer.
Hey, who won the division last year?
Yeah, the Brewers won the division, game 163. So
we've just been critical of the Brewers for the last hour.
Randy, how many Cubs jerseys do you own? I'm going to guess a Baez and a Rizzo. And
Listen, I'm 62 years old.
A Fukudome.
I've been a Cub fan since 1965.
Haven't I defended Wrigley Field here on the show?
Maybe you have.
When people want to call that place a toilet and a urinal, I said, man, that's a legendary place. Babe Ruth, say that.
Hey,
no, come
hey,
on.
Hey,
don't swear.
Hey.
62. You should know better than not swear on the radio at this point.
Randy.
Come on now. And God, gosh darn it, maybe I should not be so tough on the Cubs. Maybe my hatred of the Cubs should not come out on a Milwaukee sports talk radio station. Oh, boy.
No, I mean,
that's the first time anybody's ever said I'm too tough on the Cubs.
Well, Randy is clearly a Cubs fan.
Oh, is he? Where is he from?
Kenosha.
Well, that's part of Illinois. We've determined that already.
Look, I was telling Randy too. I was,
You know, I was giving you the balance. Look, the whole thing with the Brewers is I think that they have to make a lot of changes so that they can keep up with the Cubs. I know they're a half game up right now, but I look at the Cubs right now and I think, well, they've got pitching that I would rather have. Sure, some of those guys haven't lived up to the contract, but I would rather go into the second half with maybe the Cubs roster than the Brewers at this point.
Look at the Cubs rotation. Anytime John Lester goes out there, do you feel bad about it? No, you feel like the guy's going to go out there and give you some...
Although he has been struggling.
No, but you still feel good when he pitches.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Lester, Darvish, Quintana than Woodruff, Davies, and Chase.
Yeah, I don't feel real good when Quintana goes out there unless he's facing the Brewers.
Hamels.
Yeah. Darvish is pitching. Darvish should have, you know, he pitched well Saturday night against the Dodgers. He was about to become a hard luck loser until Rizzo saved him with a 2-run homer in the ninth inning. But, yeah, I mean, Cub fan can't feel good about being 7 games over the 500 mark. And the Cubs themselves, they've talked about, well, you know, by later on in the year, we'll be 20 games over the 500 mark. And every time they win a couple of these, they feel like they're going to get on a roll, but they just haven't got on that roll yet this year. And that's great, and that's good.
I've got your back. I feel like Randy, his criticism was maybe, he said that the farm system is bad because we've got guys in the majors. True.
And it's true.
But that's still, both are true. The farm system's still bad.
Yeah.
So we don't have to give the reason for it if the fact is true. Also, the Cubs were a home run away from getting swept in that series.
Mm-hmm.
That is also true.
Yeah.
I don't care how good the Dodgers are. Chuck was just stating a fact about...
Just saying that they and then they dropped two or three to
three, you swore
Colorado.
On the radio, Randy!
Yeah, don't be saying the S word. Or the F word.
Which,
but he didn't say the F word. He said the S word.
I do believe that those of you out in radio land, I think we got that.
There was a talk show host in Chicago that got fired the other day for dropping an F-bomb on the radio.
Did he do it on purpose?
No, she. She did it.
Oh, my bad. Gender equality.
She did it.
Assumed it was a man.
Well, no, a guy was doing the newscast. Like, I'd be doing, like, let's pretend I was doing the update.
Why don't you do it and reenact?
No, because it was the other idiot that did it. It would be you at this point. I was doing the update, and she was sitting there at the host desk, and her mic, didn't realize her mic was on, so why don't we do that? Okay, I'll pretend reading in the update, and you can be her. First time the Brewers have run into the guy this season.
I look up to Chuck so much, I wish he would just know.
That's where she dropped an F-bomb, and the mic was on, and she dropped an F-bomb.
She got fired?
She got fired. Well, it was, okay, that wasn't the only thing. I heard she had a couple of other issues going on there, but that was the final straw. Yeah, I think if you came on and dropped an F-bomb, that you want to, I don't think you'll, who knows?
I have dropped an F-bomb.
On our show?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, I believe I've caught myself, but.
Okay. I don't remember that.
I was trying to say, it was like last year, I was trying to talk about hockey for some reason, and mm-hmm. I just blurted out the F-word.
Oh.
I like combined two words and it made the F-word.
Okay.
But it still was the F word.
I remember watching one of Tom Crean's practices at Marquette, and he would combine words with the F word, which I've never heard used before.
Why don't you say one?
Yeah, okay. How many times are you going to go down that road? You've used that one many times. You know I'm not, you know.
One day I'll get you.
Yeah, sure you will.
Jeff is in Wind Lake. What's up, Jeff?
Sure.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. I am just like beside myself after listening to Randy's call.
I'm sure he's a kind man at heart.
Well, I'm sure he is, but is this the world that we live in now that apparently it's upsetting to Wisconsinites to be a Brewer fan?
Yeah, we should bow down to Kenosha, Illinois.
I grew up in Illinois, and I'm not a Cub fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're probably a White Sox fan, right?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm a Brewer fan.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Sox fan. I've lived here for a long time, but it's just weird to me that you can't even have fandom anymore without upsetting somebody in this crazy PC world that we live in.
You know, I wonder if there's Cub fans here and there's White Sox fans here, smaller base of White Sox fans. I don't know. But I mean, is there Brewer fans? Are there people who grew up in Illinois who are Brewer fans, even though the Brewers have had no success?
No, and I hate this whole fact that people blame it on, WGN was the only TV station that carried the Cubs. Who cares?
Yeah.
What happened to just being loyal to the team and the town that you love?
Well, I think if you're my
age, that apparently is not allowed anymore in this day and age.
I think if you're my age, you became if you're a Cub fan, you know, the Brewers weren't on TV a lot in the 70s and 80s, but the Cubs were on every day. And if you lived on the south side of Milwaukee, you got WGN without having cable TV. So you'd come home from school and boom, Channel 9, Cubs game would be on every day.
And, right, you found a way to follow the Brewers.
Oh, yeah, of course. I went to games.
You read the paper.
You could Merle Harmon doing the games.
Proud.
Yeah.
You were proud of your team because you were from Milwaukee. Randy, where's his loyalties lie?
And I think back then, you know, with the Cubs were the National League and the Brewers were the American League, so it didn't affect the Brewers it does now.
So I was
kid. Now the Cubs have become our problem.
That time I liked both teams.
Yeah, which was okay because of
WGN. But I could watch the Cubs every day.
But they were in two different divisions.
I could watch the Cubs every day.
Yeah.
And I was 6 years old and I loved baseball.
But see, when the Cubs were in the
I liked the Brewers too, but I liked both and they were in separate leagues.
There wasn't as much hatred for Chicago as there is now, I think, because the Cubs have moved back. The Brewers have moved into the National League, and they're the same division as the Brewers, and now we hate the Cubs. But
do we hate
70s
the Cubs?
And 80s, we didn't hate the Cubs.
Do we hate the Cubs more than we hated the White Sox in the day?
Oh, well, the White Sox, yes.
Thanks,
because
Jeff.
There would be the White Sox fans would come to County Stadium, and there'd be fights on Saturday nights.
So who do we hate more, the Cubs now or the White Sox?
I think the Cubs now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here we are talking about them for no reason.
Yeah, because more Cub fans would come up to...
Brewers are playing the Padres, by the way. They lost 2-0.
More Cub fans invade Miller Park than White Sox fans ever invaded County Stadium. Yeah, more Cub fans. Because we didn't... You know, when the White Sox fans would come up here, we never thought, oh, God, we better have a lottery for Wisconsin fans to buy Brewer tickets. I mean, the White Sox fans would come up here, but you never cared. I mean, he cared, but you wouldn't have to worry about not being able to get tickets.
Andy is in Appleton. What's up, Andy? One call today, Andy.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. The first thing I want to say is, you know, I'm a little upset because I think that over the time I've been listening to you guys, you haven't been supportive enough of the Chicago Bears. I don't know that is. But instead of tuning into something based in Chicago, I think I'll just complain about the Milwaukee station, speaking well of Wisconsin sports. But I was listening about Lorenzo Cain, and I question, you know, I think you could still get something for him if you were willing to move him for a starting pitcher. And if you're not willing to move him, wouldn't you then be willing to move May as a prospect? Because you don't need five outfielders. So I'm wondering if we're looking at what we can move that we can get something for a starting pitcher or a reliever, wouldn't one of those two outfielders be the man to move?
I think Colin Ray, he's a country singer. Corey Ray would be the guy, yeah.
Colin Hay?
Colin Hay from Men at Work might be an option. But Corey Ray, yeah, I think if teams look at him now, I mean, unless you're San Francisco, and they don't value Corey Ray or Toronto or one of these other teams, but yeah, I think he'd be an option. He would have to be. You wouldn't deal Keston Hiro. I would think you would not want to do that.
Or we're not going on the deal Lorenzo Cain route, are we? Based on the call,
Lorenzo Cain.
That's what Andy said. He said you can deal Lorenzo Cain because you have Corey Ray.
Well, here's the deal. It'd be tough. You couldn't deal Lorenzo Cain because there's nobody who wants a guy hitting .248 with 15. With a $15 million a year contract in his mid-30s. That's tough.
Right.
And he's never going to be dealt. Maybe never, but not mid-season. You know, he's part of that locker room. They're not dealing Lorenzo Cain.
No, I'm not advocating for it.
No.
Responding
but,
to
But, yeah, it's not happening.
It's Chuck and Winkler. I am advocating for Perkins. Get on out there. The Strawberry Festival continues this week where you can get strawberries. Think of some of your favorite things to eat for breakfast, like French toast, always good at Perkins, the pancake platters. I still love when you guys send me pictures of those at Winks Thinks. Think of them with strawberries all over it. Fresh strawberry croissant French toast available. The fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters available. And the strawberries they've got, not just for breakfast either. You've got the fresh strawberry salad throughout the day today. smoked pulled chicken, fresh strawberries, glazed walnuts, feta cheese on the crisp garden greens. You can get that. It's the Strawberry Festival. It continues this week. Also, today is a Tuesday, which means kids eat free at Perkins after 4 o'clock. Kids eat free at Perkins after 4 o'clock. When you get your meal, they will get a free kids meal at Perkins after 4 today and then also Saturday. It's a Tuesday, so it means it's a Twitter Tuesday. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. You can win Summerfest tickets today, again, and then $20 to Perkins. Our question online is, what's your dream job in sports? And we'll circle back to that a little later, but you guys, in the meantime, can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan, your dream sports job, and we'll give one person the $20 to Perkins and the Summerfest tickets at random. We'll continue to talk about the Brewers throughout the show. Adam McKelvey at 8. The LaFleur-Rogers relationship. Is it already frayed? Real issues facing the team. Stick around. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart. That's Chuck on Twitter at Winks Thinks. Chuck's at Chuck Freeman. We are at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Again, your Twitter Tuesday. What's your dream sports job? You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use the hashtag CWLunch. $20 to Perkins and Summerfest tickets on the line. I have had a breakthrough, Freems, as much as I enjoy a day of load management from time to time and as much as I may have vacations and other things planned, I think that I can never take a day off again. Because it seems like every time I do, there's a new Rodgers article that comes out. And there was another one yesterday with Michael Silver at NFL.com about him and LaFleur and if they're going to be able to get on the same page or not.
Yeah, I think some of the feeling might be, okay, is it already starting? We haven't even had training camp already. And is it already starting between Rodgers and the head coach? The quarterback-coach relationship, is it already getting off to a rocky start where there's quote-unquote, negotiations between the two?
Well, you've got a guy coming in who's got a system. It's a regimented system that if it works, it will be successful. There's deception, and there's if option one's not available, option two should be, and if option two's not available, option three should be. Devontae Adams has talked about how he likes it. He sees him getting self open a lot more than maybe in the past. It works, and this is one of the reasons why I think the Packers hired LaFleur. And one of the reasons I was excited about it, because you're going to see some more deception at the line of scrimmage. You're going to see some more like disguises and coverages. And you're going to exploit what the defense thinks is going to happen, and then you're going to do the other thing. That's the system that he's learned LaFleur has from the Shanahans over the years. Then you've got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who, according to the Tyler Dunn Bleacher Report article, would audible at least one-third of the time on McCarthy's plays. And McCarthy knew he couldn't go against Rodgers, so he just threw his hands up in the air and said, screw it, you do what you have to do, and I'll just try to navigate this thing. You're going to go from a guy who every three plays made an audible to now you're going to tell him, yeah, you really can't do that in this system. There's going to be some pushback, Joe.
Oh, yeah, because he looks around the league and he sees Tom Brady and he sees Drew Brees and all the other quarterbacks, the great quarterbacks in the league, being able to audible out and have some creativity, and he feels the beauty of his game, Aaron's game. Aaron feels that, you know, hey, me going the line of scrimmage and being able to check out of a few things, my pre-snap, that's part of my game. And now, you know, coach, you're kind of handcuffing me and what I'm going to do. I have two options, two plays to run, one or the other, and I can't go to a third or a fourth or a fifth thing I like to do, like I've done to Jordy and Devontae over the years. So they're looking for a happy medium on pre-snap checks, what it comes down to, between Aaron Rodgers and LaFleur. I got this figured out. They're negotiating to come to some conclusion of how we're going to make this work where you're happy and I'm happy.
In every relationship, there's some give and there's some take. And our question to you is, who needs to do more of the giving? Who needs to compromise more? Is it Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, or Matt LaFleur, the head coach? That question is available to chime in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You could tweet us there, Facebook as well, 414-799-1250. Let me just give you some of the quotes from the Mike Silver article, whether you read it or not. It's all over our social media. It's on the website. You can definitely read at 1057fmthefan.com. So Matt LaFleur was asked by Mike Silver, and he said, Aaron and I have some good talks, and we're going to talk a lot more. One thing we have to work through is the audible thing. So LaFleur is coming out and saying it. First of all, I was surprised with what we're about to read here, these quotes. It's more than like I feel like McCarthy ever talked about when it comes to this at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, you would think that LaFleur, because McCarthy would always give us generic thing stuff, and LaFleur is coming out and he actually
gave me some. I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
Except for there. Except when he's talking about himself. It's not generic. But LaFleur is giving us some meat here.
He says, we're running a system that I first picked up while working with Kyle Shanahan in Houston a decade ago, and in that time, we've never really had a quarterback who's had complete freedom to change plays at the line because that's not the way the offense is set up. But, I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers. He's had a lot of freedom to make those calls, and deservedly so. Now, how do we reconcile that and get to a place where we put him in the best position to succeed? Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers says, yeah, it's a conversation. It's a conversation in progress. I don't think you want to ask me to turn off 11 years of recognizing defenses. We have a number of check with me's and line of scrimmage stuff. It's just the other stuff that not really many people in this league can do. I'm not humble bragging. It's a fact. There aren't many people that can do at the line of scrimmage what I've done. Obviously, Tom Brady can do it. Peyton could do it. Drew Brees can do it. Mahomes will be able to do it. Big Ben has called their two-minute offense for years. There's a few of us who've just done it. It's kind of second nature. And that's the icing on the cake for what I can do in this offense. So it seems like Aaron Rodgers is willing to learn the new offense, which is very structured to a point, but he still wants to have the same freedoms or most of the freedoms that he had under McCarthy. And that I just don't see how that's going to work. So who needs to be more willing to compromise? Would you say it's the coach, Matt LaFleur, coming in? He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback now. Mm-hmm. He's got his system, but he's going to come in with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Or does Rodgers need to say, look, you're the coach, you're in charge, I'm willing to learn it your way?
What if I say a little bit of both? Like, I think if there's got to be a little give and take between both of these guys, I think if you're the head coach, you're LaFleur coming in, you realize, okay, you got a guy who's a pretty smart quarterback, who's capable of changing out of plays. If you're going with a young rookie quarterback and, maybe he doesn't have as much rein, but I think Rodgers has earned that over the years. But on the other hand, Rodgers has got to look at it. You know, this guy's coming in here to do his job. Okay. Mike McCarthy, he's not here anymore. So this new guy is brought in. I have to show some faith into what he's bringing to the table. The organization said, hey, he's the head coach. So I have to, that he's the right guy for the job. So I got to listen to what he's going to do. You have to. You can't be your own man. You have to listen to your boss. And right now, LaFleur is brought in to do the job. But I feel like LaFleur has also got to listen to Aaron because Aaron's been around the league for 11 years and has been actually in the trenches calling plays. So I think, Bart, the answer is somewhere in between, both guys.
Casey says at 105.7 FM, the fan, is this a football team or a democracy? The coach needs to coach. Mm-hmm. The players need to respond.
Sure, but in this case, too, I think LaFleur's got to take some look and realize he's got a Hall of Fame quarterback here. He's been around a little bit.
Jay says both need to realize that each other has had success where they've been, mm-hmm. and they both need to be more open-minded.
Exactly.
Dustin says nobody needs to compromise. Compromise is what people do when they are not on the same page and cannot coexist, yet try to force it.
Well, I think compromising in a way, what's going to be the best for the offense?
You compromise in any relationship, though. I don't know of a relationship where you don't. Even in a marriage, you compromise. Even if you're soulmates and you're perfect for each other,
sure,
there's going to be some things you have to compromise on.
Absolutely.
Compromise, look, you're not going to be on the same page with everyone about everything. Even like an identical twin, you're not going to be on the same page with all the time. There's going to have to be some compromise. So I don't look at compromising as a bad thing. You're two different people that are trying to get the best out of the situation, which is a head coach and a football player. Ultimately, I would say that Rodgers needs to do more of the compromising, because what's the point of having a head coach? If Rodgers is going to run the offense that he wants to, why do we have a head coach? Why don't we just draw up plays in the dirt and say, you go there, you go there? There's a reason that they have a head coach, is because that way didn't work. We know what it looks like when Rodgers tries to run the offense away from the coach. It's not good.
Well, I think Aaron is open to – I mean, it sounds like Aaron is open to what LaFleur is bringing to the table. He should be. But I think Aaron wants – I think the one caveat is Aaron wants to be able to call out of make some pre-snap changes, which LaFleur sounds like, well, I don't know if I'm going to give you that freedom.
Because if he makes those pre-snap changes, then it takes everything out. Like, there was that play famously from the article now against Seattle where he pretty much just said, Devontae, you run deep, I'll get it to you. So you have two guys on the offensive side of the ball that know what's going on, and then the nine other guys mm-hmm. are running the previous play. If you're going to do that this time around, it's going to be chaotic. You're going to have guys running into each other. You're going to have guys tripping up on – it's just not going to work. You can't. If Rodgers gets to the line of scrimmage and he's got Matt LaFleur's multi-layered play, where if the tight end's not open, the running back will be, and then if the running back's not open, the way that we disguise the coverage a wide receiver should be, there's like parts to these plays. There's A, B, and C. So if you're going to just say, well, forget it, I want Lance Kendricks to go run down and out, it's got to be cohesive with the rest of the play. So if there's audibles built within the play that he can check to, that's one thing. If he's just going to take a pre-designed play call and say, you run deep, I'll throw it to you, that is not going to work in this offense.
Well, it worked with between Rodgers and Jordy for many years because Jordy and Rodgers, they would both notice something on the defense. Aaron would give him some little signal, whatever they had going, either a leg kick or something. And he would tell Jordy, you know, and Jordy would know where to be, and Jordy would be in the right spot. Beautiful chemistry.
You also didn't have a, not no offense to Mike McCarthy.
I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
Well, right, but your offenses weren't very, like, hard. They weren't very complex. It was Tecmo Super Bowl kind of stuff here. You didn't have really a lot of things going on to say. And Matt LaFleur, if anything, to put it in simple terms, there's more going on in the offense with Matt LaFleur, I think we'll see,
well,
than there was Mike McCarthy. And maybe those plays were easier to check out of than the LaFleur plays
yeah.
will be.
We haven't really seen LaFleur's offense. We haven't seen him play a game.
We haven't seen it with Green Bay.
Yeah.
We've seen tape of it in other systems, and we've seen what the Shanahan offenses look like. What Rodgers did with McCarthy, he will not be able to have those liberties with LaFleur.
It sounds like it, but I mean, but it sounds also too, LaFleur is open to, I mean, I wonder how these conversations are going. If they're negotiating whether Rodgers can check in or check out of certain plays at the line of scrimmage. How do you think, I mean, it's got to happen in film sessions. I'm sure they're probably looking at film and I'm sure that LaFleur is showing him certain things on film, you know, practice film that, hey, you know, this is where you can check out. This is where you can't check out. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be a negotiable thing for both teams. Both guys got to get on the same page. But it's not, I mean, to the eye test, it doesn't look good where already Aaron and LaFleur don't seem to be on the same page with one thing. But this happens on jobs.
Willie says, this is like when a general tells an officer what to do with his troops. The officer has to listen to what the general wants to do, but the officer has to know when he can make a decision to fix a situation. Yeah, you don't take away all the like unpredictability of Aaron Rodgers, and maybe if a play breaks down and he's got ways to get out of it, I think if he's going to do the pre-audible checks, it could mess up the play design that they have. So it's going to be something that they do have to work through.
Mm-hmm.
TG takes it a different route. He says, thank goodness Giannis isn't like this, where there's always some sort of controversy with him and a coach like it is with Rodgers. I'm ready for the Bucks to come back at 105.7 FM, the Fan. Yeah, dude, I am too. I am too. I miss the Bucks.
During your one day off, your 3-day weekend, did you have a chance to, I don't know, better come to grips with the Bucks losing that series to the Raptors? It's been 3 weeks now. No? I'll take that as a no. I'll take that as a definite no.
I did laugh at something that happened at the parade. Kawhi Leonard, his famous laugh. He did it again.
Enjoy this. Enjoy this moment and have fun with it. Aha, ha, ha, ha.
So I laughed about that.
That is funny. Kawhi making fun of himself. How about Toronto fans, man? What is going on there, though, with their party, their post-game, their celebration? Why are there shots ringing out at a rally, at a parade? Tell me where that falls into celebrating. I mean, gee. I mean, you like to think Canada's better than that. I mean, I know I've gotten on Canada a little bit, but I didn't expect them to be having downtown parades where people were worried about getting shot. Apparently, that's a problem now in Toronto.
I don't know. I mean, there was, you know how many shootings there were yesterday?
At a parade?
All over.
Well, but at a parade?
There was a shooting in a Racine bar.
Well,
there was
but still.
Kid that got
that
shot.
That happens every day in Wisconsin. But, I mean, when you're at a parade, I would like to think if we had a parade here in Milwaukee for the Bucks winning an NBA title, there would not have been gunshots. I would like to. I hope
I'm
right.
It doesn't happen more often.
Why?
People are nuts.
Stupid. That's dumb. To bring guns to a rally?
Thanos was right. There's too many people on this earth.
So you think that if there was a rally in Milwaukee that they would
I'm pro Thanos. I watched Avengers, Chuck. Yeah. Thanos is the good guy. Thanos, he snapped his fingers because he had all the Infinity
Stones. Isn't that
stones.
One of Giannis's brothers?
if you pronounce it a certain way.
Yeah.
He snapped his fingers and half of the world's population disappeared because he said the world is too overcrowded.
Okay. Well, that's making an excuse for gun control at a rally for celebrating an NBA championship. That's despicable, man. And once again, Canada comes through. Canada can't even handle a celebration. This is when people are turning over cars and stuff like that. Just police cars, plain stupidity.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We can talk a little bit about the Bucks because the news with them yesterday was that they want to get rid of Tony Snell and Ersan Ilyasova and maybe package pick number 30 with it. That's a bad idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Oh, no.
I think it's a great idea. Why would you? Well, let's get to that next.
We didn't. I didn't know what you would say. It's a terrible idea.
I think it's.
Well, they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Well, we'll get to that next.
Chuck and Winkler here on the. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We'll talk to Adam McKelvey just after 8 o'clock. Brewers.com, MLB.com. Late one last night, late one again tonight. Brewers will be facing a rookie. I'm trying to commit his name to memory. I believe it's Logan Allen? Something really like 23-year-old when it comes to a name. Padres tonight will be starting.
Yeah, ain't no 50-year-old
name. Yeah, Logan Allen.
Ain't no 50-year-old's name Logan.
Well, Wolverine.
Who?
Hugh Jackman.
There used to be a TV show called Logan's Run.
Oh, sure, yeah. I've seen some of that.
Okay.
No, Logan from the X-Men. X-Men?
Don't know that show.
Movie?
Okay.
Franchise?
Never saw it.
Professor X?
Never saw it. Dr. X? The former pro wrestler.
Cyclops.
Okay, no. Cyclops,
you know Cyclops.
With one eye, yes. With one eye, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. X-Men. Okay, updated NBA championship odds. The Bucks were in first, so if you took any solace into the offseason, it was, well, at least we got the best odds to win the title. No longer true, according to betonline.ag, with this Anthony Davis trade, which is either going to go through July 6th or July 30th. It's very complicated. The NBA does need to tighten some of this stuff up because how much cap room the Lakers have is going to depend on when this trade goes through. There's a chance it doesn't go through until for 6 weeks yet.
It's very confusing.
It's so confusing. And if you say that it's not, well, good for you. You have a brain that is very capable of doing the world's most improbable problem. So, I mean, apply that elsewhere, because if you can figure out the NBA salary cap and not have to, like, cram what's that word? What's the pill that you take? Whatever. Adderall.
The day after pill? Oh.
Been there.
Okay.
So, if you don't have to do that, good for you. The Lakers, 7-2 odds, which is like 4-1. So, mm-hmm. They're the favorite. LeBron, AD, The Bucks now 7-1 odds. The Rockets 9-1, and then the Warriors 10-1, along with the Clippers and Raptors. Lakers favorites to win the title next year. Is that commonplace around
the
show?
Yeah. I mean, the Bucks were favored like 2 days ago, like you said there, and it's like how the Bucks favored when they can't even get to the NBA Finals. So, yeah, I just never looked at the Bucks as the team to beat because, as I was telling Horvy yesterday, the Bucks haven't beaten anybody yet.
I saw one post yesterday that said, Anthony Davis, 26-year-old big man, LeBron James, 34-year-old superstar. The last time the Lakers tried this, it was Dwight Howard, 26-year-old big man, Kobe Bryant, 34-year-old superstar, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, but Anthony Davis, 6-time All-Star, you would surely take him ahead of Dwight Howard. I mean, in today's NBA, Davis could step out and hit a three. He's a guard in a big man's body, put it that way.
What happened to Dwight Howard? Why did he never have the career he should have? He's still playing, is he not?
He's probably at the end of somebody's bench, isn't he?
He was with Washington.
Yeah. Just thought laziness.
It seemed like every offseason there was a should the Bucks get Dwight Howard topic.
But that not enough versatility to his game. Not like Anthony Davis.
Right. No, and that's a good fit for LeBron. That's a real good fit for those two guys. So there was a tweet yesterday from Mark Stein, New York Times. He had said that the Bucks are offering draft compensation this week. The draft on Thursday night. We'll have the Pro Hoops Draft Show at Q Club. Ryan Horvath, Billy Schmid. The Bucks are offering compensation this week in hopes of finding a team willing to take on the contract of either Tony Snell or Ersan in a trade, league sources say, as the Bucks seek to create added flexibility to retain their elite status in the East. Here's where this trade and this idea is wrong. The Bucks are trying to trade these salaries because they want to stay under the luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the owners trying to save money. And if that's the case, I don't want any part of that.
But what good is Tony Snell doing you?
I should have played in the Eastern Conference Finals, Chuck.
Yeah, I think you're like the only one who feels that way.
Also, Snell season on Twitter.
Who?
He was on our show once, Snell season.
Tony Snell isn't doing you any good. Now, but here's the only problem I have with this is you're giving away a draft pick to correct a problem that you made.
Which they have done repeatedly.
You're giving away an asset. There's the only way I agree with you on this one, where I don't like it. You're giving away an asset, although it's a 30th pick, for a mistake you made a couple of years ago by signing Snell. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea that you got to give away an asset to get to have someone take on a problem that you made.
So what about it do you like?
Well, I like about it if they're going to go out there and re-sign Brook Lopez, and that sounds like that's what the intent here is, that they need money for Lopez.
But it sounds like they can keep him without doing any of these other trades. From what I understand, this is a.
But is it worth?
These
is it,
would be trades to keep the Bucks under the luxury tax.
Keeping the 30th pick in the first round, is it really worth going over the luxury tax for that? I mean, is that really worth it?
I mean, every draft pick? There is a gem between like 27 and 30.
Oh,
Kevon Looney was picked number 30 a few years ago.
I'll take my chances that
Kyle Kuzma.
I think going
you get
over
a Kyle Kuzma.
I don't think that
27 a few years ago.
You know, if you had a chance because you're trying to win.
You like Pascal Siakam? Do you like him?
Yeah.
Well, he was picked 27.
Okay. How many numerous other guys, including guys who are in the lottery, who aren't even in the NBA anymore?
I just don't. The Bucks. When you're a team that's already stretched and you need to bring in good talent at a very low cost, the draft is the way to do that.
But if the guy's not going to help you,
give up on that.
But if the guy's not going to help you, all right, if he's not going to contribute to your team, he's not going to help you, and you don't know that, okay, but you're taking a shot in the dark that, you know, the 30th pick, I mean, Dante DiVincenzo, hopefully helps him in the future.
Well, he was hurt.
Yes. Didn't give him much help this year, all right? He had a couple of shots when he did play, but he didn't really give him a lot. But the 30th pick, if you got to trade that pick to get somebody to take on Tony Snell's contract with the hopes of re-signing Lopez or making a trade or even signing another free agent, then I'm okay with it.
The Bucks don't have a second-round pick this year. They already traded that to Sacramento. They have no picks next year. They've traded both of those.
Well, they traded a lot of these for that Mirotić move.
They only have a first-round pick in 2021, and then they don't have a first-round pick in 2022.
Now, okay, when they gave away four, I think it was four second-round picks for Miritich, you could say the same argument. Well, geez, four second-round picks. They got Brogdon in the second round. There's many guys who've come out in the second round and have made it in the NBA, but they gave away four second-round picks for Miritich.
Looking back at that Miritich trade, could you say that that trade cost the Bucks a championship?
How?
Miritich hurt more than he helped. Well, he got DJ Wilson out of the rotation.
He didn't play well. No, Miritich didn't play well. It didn't play well in the Toronto series. He didn't play well in the Toronto series.
I think it was a bad trade.
Well, it turned out.
You know, I thought it was a good trade at the time.
At the time it did.
But you look back at the results, it was like the Jonathan Scope deal for the Bucks.
He got benched in game six because he just couldn't hit a shot. And
It was Jonathan Scope all over again.
Yeah, I mean,
it didn't work out.
You never thought, and they're not going to re-sign him.
No.
If they didn't play him in game six of the conference finals because they thought he was so bad at that point. But who saw it going that way?
No,
I mean, Miritich has been such a good player in his career.
And when he first got in, we were all laughing about how insanely deep the Bucks were from beyond the arc.
And it looked like they were. I mean, he was starting.
Like a bonus.
He went from starting the first few games of that series to being benched. I mean, how does that happen to somebody in the NBA? Going from a starter's role to being benched. And that's what happened to Miritich. He was not he didn't have to suit up for game six because Budenholzer had no Gutekunst.
I like Gutekunst.
I got Gutekunst. Budenholzer, we're talking about Gutekunst.
I like Gutekunst.
Budenholzer had no intentions of using Miritich.
Mike Budenholzer.
Mike Budenholzer.
Let's get to Anthony on the north side, 799-1250. You can reach us. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Tony.
How you doing, guys? Talking about the Bucks, they should have played Snell. I don't know why they didn't.
That's
a Bud thing, okay? Second of all, the general manager, at first I thought he was doing some good moves and whatnot, but now I'm having kind of doubts about him. I think what they should have done, they should have brought in, and I'm going to say this, Chauncey Billups to be the general manager instead of the guy that they got now. And that's it. Now, I'll listen to you guys. Thank you.
Oh, I think Horst has done a pretty good job. I think he does. I think he's done a better job. No one really had any expectations when he came in or when he got promoted to general manager. But I think he's done a hell of a job so far. I mean, you look at some of the moves. Yeah, the Ersan, not the Ersan. Well, the Ersan move he's trying to get from under right now. He's trying to trade that after signing him a year ago. But the Miritich trade, that was probably, what, the worst move he's made?
Right, but at the time you thought it was a good move.
Yeah, but it turned out to be, when you couldn't use him, it's like, man, okay, you spent all these draft picks for him, and now you can't use him in game six because Miritich can't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, and he signed the Snell contract.
See, was that Hammond wasn't around yet, was that?
I think that was Horst.
Okay. I look at that more as a Jason Kidd move.
Well, Jason Kidd helped the Raptors win a title because the picks that they traded for Vasquez turned into Norman Powell and Fred VanVleet. No, not Fred VanVleet. He was a free agent.
OG. I have a feeling, though, I mean, that Kidd just said, you're going to sign Tony Snell. Four-year contract. Resign him. Four-year contract, $40 million. $40 million. God, as soon as that deal was done, we got the press release on that. I said, I'll be sorry they ever made that move.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Adam McKelvey will join us coming up. Lots to talk about with Adam. We're going to need some time to talk to him. We've got to talk about Travis Shaw, who comes back up here and then gets platooned. We've got to talk about how the starting rotation can't seemingly find more than one guy to go five innings consistently. At this point, we've got to talk about the bullpen. We've got to talk about Lorenzo Cain. We've got to talk about the leadoff problem. We've got to talk about the Aguilar problem. I mean, it's never ending.
The first place Brewers are a mess.
I know. Well, they are.
Well, they've lost three of the last four.
Do you want them to be in first place since September?
God, they got they.
If the answer is yes, then they need some help.
They can't lose these next two games in San Diego.
Season doesn't end on June.
What a dreadful
18th.
Game last night.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty non-eventful.
Brutal watching that game.
Didn't stay up for that. We do it for you. We'll be the ones dragging ass today.
Well, admittedly,
you don't need to stay up.
I only stayed through seven innings because I knew they were going to lose
Still
that game.
Enough.
The eye test said they ain't winning this game tonight.
The eye test could have told you it was over when the schedule said Brewers at San Diego.
It was a revenge game from last year when the Brewers swept them in three games. It was like, oh, this is the revenge series for the Padres. You know it.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com. We'll address those next.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.